You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the U.S. Women's National Team camp and the upcoming match against Colombia. And we break down who has and has not been on our show. Really the important things. Also, we talk about the J-League's oldest player. And we try to figure out, is it abuse at this point?
That's right. Plus, we talked to Jenny Chu, who you might remember from Orlando City. She's now with Chelsea TV. She's also with Champions League. We talk about her rise to success and why we're probably the most important thing she's done in that whole entire success. That and more today on the Cooligans.
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby! Alexis. Alexis.
We have to pipe in the crowd noise.
You gotta switch to the app if you don't want to hear the enhanced audience.
Okay, look, it's a new Fubo TV feature that they added. Look, it is what it is.
It ain't us, baby. You know what I mean? We don't need it, but they said the fans love it, you know?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show there is on this Fubo television program.
That's right. Also, you know, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but we just happen to be the gulliest. I feel like maybe we should let the people know. You know?
Yeah, I feel like we usually miss that part on most of the shows, but I'm glad you got to it. Okay. Yeah.
Eventually, you know, we'll get there.
Thank you for joining us today. We have a really fun show where we're going to be joined by Jenny Chu. You may know her. You may remember her from covering Orlando City, but you know her from Chelsea TV now. And
yes, Champions League. Come on.
Champions League coverage. Okay. We're going up, climbing up the ladder whatever next is going to be, the African Cup of Nations.
Correspondent. Here's the thing, right? We finished in the top four of podcast/TV shows that happen to be Gully, right?
Okay, yeah.
Which means we qualified to interview someone who's ever Champions League.
Yes, okay, so really, you got to stick with us and watch our journey, okay? a fun show today. We have a lot to discuss, but we should start with some U.S. Women's National Team news. Obviously, the January camp roster has been announced. There's some upcoming friendlies against Colombia too. They're going to be two in the same week. So January 18th at 7 p.m. Eastern time, the U.S. Women's National Team will be taking on Colombia for the first game of those two friendlies. So first, when you see the roster, mm-hmm. I think for everyone, the first thing that stands out of this U.S. Women's National Team camp is how many players have been on our show.
It's a very cooliganified roster. You know?
Yes, I think the Cooligans bump is real.
Yeah. Well, Cooligans verification, I like to consider it more than a bump, you know?
Yeah.
We co-sign them. So Vlatko, you cool, you know what I mean?
We let him know, you know? They should their Twitter profile should have a little, instead of a blue check, it should be a little pizza.
Okay, yeah, a little pizza place. Okay, they've been on the Cooligans. I mean, maybe we need a good goalkeeper to have here. You know, I think that's what happened. Because if you look at every position, we've got at least one person that is a fan, friend of the show.
Yes, it's pretty surreal. Look, you know, Ashton Harris and Jane Campbell. It's really now, it's you when you look at the roster and you see who hasn't been on the show, and you got to worry about them, okay? Right. You got to worry about their standing.
Because there's a lot of competition to be on the women's national team, right? You got to train hard. You've got to show really well in training, right?
Yeah.
You've got to play really well, and you got to be on the Cooligans, right?
It's becoming one of the prerequisites. I don't know what to tell you.
Look, we don't make the rules, right? Look, every national team coach has their own system. And this, I got to be honest, I think it's the best system. I think it's the best one I approve of.
No, this is I mean, it is pretty crazy. Even I look at this list and I'm like, this is insane. The 1 degree of separation that we have with these people.
Right. If anything, they didn't even release a roster. They released our dream get, booking list here. Yeah. I mean, there's some names we haven't had on, which I mean, you want to stay on the team, right? I mean, if you were. Right. If you are like Roosevelt's been on here, Andy Sullivan, where you been? You know,
yeah.
Lindsey Horan, hit us up. You know,
what's going on?
Yo, Allie, why don't you have a conversation with Abby Dahlkemper? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Look, they got to help each other out. All right. So look, this is, from the match, that we saw against the Netherlands, this roster is bringing back, I mean, the heavy hitters, right? Right, obviously Megan Rapinoe is coming back, and it's so wild because Megan Rapinoe didn't play in the Challenge Cup, but I'm already watching like some of the training videos that U.S. Women's National Team is putting up on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, she hasn't lost a step. Okay, yo, right. Colombia better watch out.
Yo, you don't lose sauce, you know that.
This is I'm. I mean, this is just the level of this team they're just like unflappable, right? They can't be, regardless if they don't play games or they do play games. Vlaco, I was watching Vlaco on Marissa Pilla's podcast, Pilla That's Talk. Right. Shout out to Marissa Pilla, and he was talking about that the level of the team is incredibly high, but he's always pushing the team to be better, because if they slack at all, the people are going to just start catching up. So they even though you saw how well they played against the Netherlands, even with not having played many games, not having played together in months, and it really says like, yo, this team is going to be scared. I'm like a little bit worried about Colombia. This is
how about Vlaco doing that thing of like the everyone starts with an A. You know what I mean? You just have to keep it all school year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or you think like, yo, so then I stop school right now. I finish with an A. And like, that's not exactly how that works. It's even harder to keep the A. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on, coach. Which means we got to work hard. We bossing everybody. Let us take off.
It's interesting, how do you as a player like maintain that level of excellence? I mean, somebody has to continue pushing you, whether it's I don't know whether it's the coach, whether it's your teammates.
Right.
But there is something to be said about that constant desire to improve. And
but that's why so many second albums suck. You know what I mean? Because somebody works so hard to get that first one out.
Oh.
Get signed and get everything. And then they're just like, they're too relaxed on their, beachside hammock. You know what I mean?
Are there any second albums that come to mind that have been disappointments?
All of them. I mean, find me a second album that wasn't a disappointment compared to the first one, you know?
I'm trying to think of the second album I've been disappointed. If people are watching or listening, tweet at us. Let us know. There's no, none that, I mean, there have been some bad ones. Like, I'm trying to think. But different, like Eminem's second album was incredible. That was the Marshall Mathers LP.
Okay, I mean, we're not going to sit here and talk about. We're going to talk about Eminem with respect on this show.
Kanye, how about Kanye? After College Dropout.
I mean, okay, Kanye's one. Well, I mean, look, if we're going to go second album, current day Kanye, bit of a disappointment, right? So eventually, he got to it. It just took moving to Wyoming.
Okay, look, well, they'll come to mind at some point, but look, I don't think that that's clearly not going to happen to the U.S. Women's National Team. The only other thing I want to add was about the news about Alex Morgan. She had tweeted out that she had tested positive for COVID-19, and that's why obviously she's not
but she's better
care, but she is better. So there's something when players tweet when they mention it. For whatever reason, I have like a worse. I'm like, are they okay? Like, I worry about them more because they got to the point where they had to like publicly say exactly what was going on.
I agree with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's like, oh my God, you're only mentioning it because you think it's serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but I'm glad to hear she's okay and doing better. And hopefully she'll be back with the team soon.
Yeah, when you see a tweet like that, it's one of those like, can we talk texts? You're like, oh,
oh boy, this is gonna
it's gonna be good. You know, I'm gonna say no. You know, there's so much stuff happening, right? Especially when it comes to MLS. It's like, yo, we're good, right? We had a year. We did it, even though because of COVID, we had the MLS is back tournament. We had MLS Cup champion. Everything is feeling good. And then MLS is like, yo, remember that force majeure thing we were talking about that we just dropped in? We're going to use it, you know, even though we promised we wouldn't, we're going to use it. So now it seems like maybe we're close to finding a little bit of a middle ground here.
Some updates on what I believe the latest offer was. Basically, MLS is suggesting to add two more years to the current CBA, which would take it into 2027. And basically, whatever the players and the league agreed to before the MLS is back tournament, which was a change to the CBA from beforehand, they're basically just simply saying, oh, let's keep it the way things are for the next 5-6 years.
Right.
And
well, they're saying, like, look, we'll pay you 100% of what we're supposed to pay you as long as we can add two more years. So it extends the time in which we're supposed to renegotiate the CBA, which, you know, we understand because we've been, sort of talking about this league since 2015. That's when the renegotiating of the contracts is every time that happens, the players start to get paid a little bit more and a little bit closer to other professional sports leagues and, maybe even some European counterpart leagues.
Yeah, so that is going to basically delay that, any kind of increase. And you understand there are going to be consequences to dealing with a pandemic, and it's going to pretty much affect everybody. This is a difficult thing to kind of wrap my head around. I don't know. You understand that the owners have to take they want to have less of a risk, and they want to maybe recoup money that they lost. But you also don't want to see players hurt so negatively where they can't make a and look, the DP level player, we're not worried. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the league minimum. Yeah, the league minimum, which is pretty low. I mean, for when you think of a professional athlete, those are the people that are really going to be affected negatively. So those are the people that I'm like, oh, how can they get some sort of retribution and be able to make a not necessarily a living wage, but make a reasonable salary. And you would hope that over time that would increase. But if for the next 5 years, the player that's on a league minimum that gets no increase whatsoever, that's really going to suck.
Yeah. You want it to be where when a player retires after a long successful career playing for the national team and everything else, they don't have to sit there and wonder, oh no, what am I going to do for money? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's all you were hoping to get to. I mean, you know, everyone being millionaires, unless they're sharing that with us, you know what I mean? Not really. What is the podcasting, CBA look like for MLS? Come on, guys.
Okay. Yeah. We have to get into some severe negotiations as well. No. So yeah, I'm hoping the main thing is you hope that there isn't a lockout, right? You want to see soccer continue to be played and then hopefully and safely. And you want the importance of the health of the players and things like that. Because again, we have had the conversations of when things started and the pandemic started, we were like, how are they even playing games? And then, but when you spoke to players, they're like, oh, all I want to do is play games. I don't know what else.
Yeah, it's a real head trip.
So it's challenging. So we'll obviously keep an eye on it. And hopefully, I think by the end of January, we should have a real answer or at least a counter offer from the Players Association. Make sure to stick around because we're going to be joined by Jenny Chu of Chelsea TV and CBS Sports Champions League coverage. Okay, I wanted to talk about this story because this was a fascinating one. We spoke about this guy, I believe, last year. The oldest player currently playing, I believe, in the world. But he plays in the J League in Japan. His name is Kazuyoshi Miura, and he just he goes by King Kazu. That's right. His name. And he just re-signed with Yokohama FC, I believe.
Yeah, Yokohama FC. He signed for another season. The guy turns 54 on February 26th.
Okay.
Even if you swap those numbers, that's still too old to play.
Look, there's a part of me that is like, whoa, this is exciting. This is really cool. And then there's the other part of me that's like, when does it get to the point of elderly abuse? Okay. Right. Why are we putting this man through this?
If you're this person's significant other and or children, you're like, he must just not want to be home with us.
There must be something he's avoiding because he doesn't want to retire. This is a
His girl didn't believe him. He's like, no, I got signed again. Let me see your phone. Unlock your phone. I don't believe it. I'm texting coach. I want to see what he calls.
You're
back.
Too damn old, okay? I know you got another family, okay?
I'm calling. Send me a picture to coach who said coach on your phone. I want to see what she looked like.
You better be holding today's newspaper as well. No, man. Pretty crazy. Just the fact that this is a, we're not used to seeing this. You see it in sports that don't require this much movement, right? You see it in baseball. There was who was it? Julio Franco, right? Was the older player?
Was like 40 something.
I believe he played until he was like quote unquote 49. But you know how Dominican birth certificates be, you know?
Right. Eduque, who I think said was 38 years old, but my uncle who knew him in Cuba was like, that dude's 48, 49 years old.
Yeah, so you can't envision, even if it's insane to lie about your age, whatever. Who knows? I assume that he is actually 53 years old, but regardless of that, if he was 43, right, like you're saying, like, it's still pretty insane that he is, one, capable of continuing to play, and then also has, an organization, a coach that is like, yeah, he still got it. Put him in. I know my job is on the line, but we need Kinkazu in there.
Right. Also, let me just say this. If MLS gets retirement league, what the hell is the J League? Is it the nursing home league? Is it the mortuary league?
Geriatric league? Okay. Yeah, no.
What's their youth development teams? Where they have a U-53? What? He can't be a part of it no more? What's going on over there? Right?
This 49-year-old man has a lot of promise, okay?
I wonder how he develops in the future.
We'll see. Yeah, it's never too late, you know?
His poor tendons are just holding on for dear life.
What is that, the dating site for old people? It's like Silver...
Farmers Only? No. I think it's Our Turn, right? Isn't that it?
It's like Silver something. I don't know, but it feels like that's what the J-League is becoming, you know?
Silver single. Comes with free lube when you sign up. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know what you would. It's not for sex, but definitely
for your ankles, bro.
For your joints, okay? You just need to keep them moving.
I promise we have an interview with Jenny Chu. We get back after this. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick sandwich.
Dan, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, that we just talked about.
Exactly. But, you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like, you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining. And it definitely helps the show grow so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, and we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest is here.
Yes, I am. I'm thrilled because not only is she, we've been like supporting her for a while, but it's like you've seen her
supportive of her. You say like we're putting money in some bank account.
Wait, what are you doing with your money? I don't know. No, we've been so supportive because she's climbed the ranks. You know, I from just like MLS, I believe, like intern at the Timbers,
right?
To now Champions League. I mean, she's literally the promotion, the you know, climbing the table of promotion and relegation. She is only going up. Yeah,
she's gotten herself promoted up the ranks, Let's go. She's at Champions League. You've seen her on Chelsea TV. You've seen her on the sidelines of at Orlando City back in the day. I mean, this person is absolutely everywhere. And I just remember seeing her. I think it was at an MLS All-Star. And I was like, yo, yeah, I know who you are. We follow each other. We want you on our show. And she's like, quickly trying to find her mace. You know what I mean? Because I think I came in too hot. I think I came in a little hot. But we're happy to finally have her on the show. You can't avoid us anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only. Put your hands together unless you're driving for Jenny Chu.
Jenny, what's up?
Thank you guys so much for having me. Yeah, I've avoided it long enough, huh? Yeah. But you guys have been supportive. You know, I remember doing an interview with, was it Josue Colman, where I'm like juggling with him. And you guys like blasted it all over the internet because you guys were like, this is so cool. And I was like, you guys, the Cooligans retweeted me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was so, think about it. There's not many people that can, you know, translate on the fly. Both, it seemed like you were like a robot. You were like, so I was like, we need to propel this forward, you know?
And it is also a cool thing to see, you know, as Latinos and seeing, you know, when we started, we were saying like, oh, there should be a, you know, an effort from MLS clubs to not solely connect with a Spanish speaking audience, but, you know, people like us who grew up speaking both languages. Right. And that was you were one of the first people we were like, oh, this was really good. This is exactly what like a person who speaks to people like us who grew up like us.
Spanglish.
Yeah. Oh. No, I think that's why I resonate with you guys so much. And I really appreciate the job you guys do because you'll throw some Spanish words in there. And I feel like I'm in on the inside jokes when I'm like not ever in on the inside jokes.
Yeah, that's great.
For us, it's important because it's like we want to teach people who don't know Spanish who now know what fuacata means. You know, when you hit something hard enough, you say fuacata. You know,
and that part of it is cool because then you have people as like maybe in from an MLS fan base that don't speak Spanish at all, didn't grow up around the culture, and they're you know now they're asking like was that a curse word? You know, They want to know a little bit more. So it's just like in like little tidbits.
I want a white person from the Midwest to go to Geico and be like, yo, somebody just hit my car. It was fuacata, que coño? I don't know what to do. Like, that's what I want.
And Jenny, I want to know a little bit more about you and let more people know about you, your background. I mean, I know you are a former player. Obviously, you were with Orlando City covering the team. But your
UNC superstar. Okay. If I recall correctly.
And so talk a little bit about the fact that you do speak both languages, but you are, from my memory, I believe, of Mexican and Chinese heritage.
Yes. I say Chexican, okay? So
okay.
Chinese, Mexican, Chexican.
Chexican, which was my favorite cereal growing up. I love a big bowl of Chexican.
Yeah, so my dad is Chinese and my mom is Mexican, which is apparently a pretty rare combination. Very different cultures. But yeah, it makes for a great soccer player, apparently.
You grew up in El Paso, which I'm assuming is like has a much bigger Mexican sort of culture than Chinese. So how did you, growing up, I guess you maybe sided or felt a bit more Mexican growing up, or how did you sort of find that balance, which for a lot of people that have that mix can be difficult?
Yeah, no, I definitely say that I'm Mexican more so than I ever claim that I'm Chinese, because I speak the language, because I grew up on the border with the culture. I really understand it. Never been to China, been to Mexico like half my life. My mom lived there when I was growing up, so I resonate with it so much. And I don't know, I don't really belong in the Mexican subset. I don't really belong in the Chinese. I don't really belong in the Americans. So it's like balancing all of that, but definitely identify as a Mexican.
My great grandfather is Chinese. So every once in a while when I'm in Chinatown, I'm like, my people. And they're like, nah, fam. Yeah.
No. You can't be claiming us like that.
We don't coast on you, you know?
But there must have been, as far as like finding your identity, it's so challenging. I mean, I even know growing up in Brooklyn, sounding like this, you know, I would be sometimes people would be like, oh, you're not Dominican enough, or you sound white or whatever. Like, how did you navigate through that to like be like, look, this is who I am and I'm all these things, or I'm one of these things or whatever? Like, how did you find some comfort in any of it?
I mean, I think I'm still working on it. Like I said, I don't belong anywhere. Like when I played with the Mexican national team, I'm like one of the Americans. So I'm not fully Mexican, you know, and you're not fully American either when you're here, because,
yeah.
Oh, you're a minority. You're not one of us. So like, I don't really belong anywhere. And I think that kind of changing that in my mind to like, that's really cool. Like there's not many Chexicans. It's rare. So now like my YouTube channel is like Chexican Chew, because no one is going to take that. Like, yeah. No one's going to say that they're that.
That is officially your brand.
Yeah. You could tell if you have any siblings, like, no, it's mine. I'm the only one.
They don't want it. They like hate social media. And I'm like the one person who broadcasts it.
We know some folks that work for Portland Timbers. Shout out to Kayla, a good friend of ours. And everyone seems that you've worked with has always been trying to sort of push you more in front of camera. You've made that transition, right? How do you feel? Because obviously you're good at it. You keep getting work, right? you don't suck at it. How do you feel? Do you feel more comfortable now in front of camera? And how is it different than playing? Because I can't imagine going from playing the sport to just standing on the sideline and talking about it. Like, that's where I'm more comfortable. I'd hate if somebody asked me to play the game. I'd be like, have you seen me? You know?
No, like right now my left butt cheek is shaking because I'm nervous, like talking to you guys. So
okay. Please do not twerk on our show. You do not have to do that.
So really, like, to get me to where I am, it has been like pushes from people saying like, hey, you're good at talking about soccer. Why don't you do this? And, you know, Kayla was a huge like starter for me. You know, I was her intern personally, and her giving me the opportunity as an intern to be doing the post-game interviews is just wild. And it was luck, you know, their reporter left the day I started. So they needed someone. Like, it really has been just working out for me. And I thank whoever is up there like helping me out. But Kayla pushed me to do it. Like, Mark Kostick pushed me in Portland. And I got that opportunity at Orlando City, which I was like, no, you guys want me to be like the face of your club? Like, that, no, I don't know. What is this?
Yeah. They're just going to remove the lion from the crest and put Jenny there.
So, you're going to go with the Portland shoes. No.
Ever since the way it's been like people kind of like saying, hey, you're good at this. You should want to do this. And I'm like, how do I avoid this interview? How do I like get out of the podcast with the cool again?
I'm working on it. Yeah, it's worked out. Obviously, you're doing great. And now, yeah, getting to work with Chelsea and covering Champions League game. It's obviously it's dope. And we're happy to see you there as well. All right. Jenny, I wanted to just bring this up really quickly. When you were with Orlando City, and speaking of Orlando City, this is the kit that we received. we received this kit in a pizza box. This is when we were still taping our podcast in. We were at a radio station, and we almost didn't really know who sent it. We were just like, oh, Orlando, pretty cool that they sent us a shirt.
But we kept saying, like, let's wait till after the show, and then we'll open it. And I said, let's do it on the show. And Christian's like, why would anyone want to hear us unboxing a gift? And I was like, I don't know, but it sounds stupid. We should do it. And it spawned us getting so many gifts.
And it was you. You were the person who sent this to us. What? I want to know, why did you send this to us? Please answer for yourself.
Well, they were making up a list of influencers to send the boxes to. And they were thinking of like football players and like basketball players. And I'm like, influencers like within soccer, the Cooligans. And they were like, who are the Cooligans? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you guys don't know the Cooligans? Like, go look at their podcast, like look them up. And finally, like, I convinced them that we should send you guys a pizza box. And I think it ended up being like the biggest hit was you guys getting the box.
Yeah.
And I was like walking around the office like, that was me.
I don't know if you remember. I said Cooligans. You said who? I'm responsible for all your success.
It was incredibly thoughtful. And definitely the pizza box is really what was the hit. Because I'm honestly, there was like a...
there was a record,
painted record in there.
Yeah, there was drumsticks.
Really, really dope. But the pizza box was like, yo, somebody at Orlando is actually listening to the show.
They get the essence of who we are.
I'm not taking credit for like what was in the box. I'm just taking credit for saying the Cooligans. You got to send one to the Cooligans.
That's amazing.
It was perfect. I'm glad we could like, because you send it to some athlete and then they throw it in, a box with the other 45 shirts that they were sending. Right.
But their assistant's wearing the jersey while watching his Hummer, or her Bugatti,
Okay, well, I need a background. So I'm moving tomorrow and I need a background for like this stuff. How do I get people to send me something, or what should I want them to send me?
Ooh. Well, everyone listening, let's start with, maybe some teams. Okay. I'm wearing free merch right now.
Jenny, I will send you a scarf. I have a Cooligan scarf. So that will be for you, okay? And I'll tell everyone at FUBO, I'm like, yo, you haven't heard of Jenny Chu? Look, she works with CBS Sports, okay? And I'll give that back to you, okay?
Right. And in honor of Texas, we'll put it in a container of like arroz or like maybe a taco because you did pizza for us. We'll do the same for y'all. We'll shove the scarf in a koozie because I know y'all use those down there. I did ask you before, and I know we got a little sidetracked. Talk a little bit about the transition from playing the game to deciding to want to work in the game. Like, what I know you were big at UNC. I know you played overseas. What made that transition?
Well, I think I didn't get like everything I wanted out of football. Like, I had a big back injury, and then I wasn't the same player. Like, I got it before college, and I never felt done. Like, I think that I kept on not feeling done, which is why I now work in the sport, because I'm like, nope, I'm not done. Like, I'm only going to accept a job that's like in soccer. And that's really been like this. Like, I'm just not done with it. I've like, this is the biggest part of my life. And when I graduated at UNC, I got on a plane the next day to Australia just to like visit Australia and play. And when I got back from Australia, I was like, what do I do now? Do I play again, or do I like work in soccer? And I guess I started applying for jobs only in MLS and NWSL and realizing like, this is what I want to do. Got the internship with Portland, and it's just been up from there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's worked out. And one thing I'm curious about is, the level of, when you're covering games, especially working with Orlando City, a new team, obviously the fans are incredibly passionate. There was just like so much going on. And then now, I know it's not exactly the same covering Champions League with no fans there. But what does it sort of feel like from the administrative level of like, does it really feel more intense? And I'm trying to gauge like what is American soccer like and what is Champions League level in Europe. Is it really, does it feel like, are you more nervous around Pep? Are you, or around Lampard or whatever? Does it feel any different?
I think because we're in a COVID era, like the whole time I was covering Champions League, it wasn't really like a normal game. So like the adrenaline is different. You know, when I worked in MLS, I'm in a full stadium and like the thing is like rocking and like, I can't hear myself. And then, you know, when I was covering Champions League this time around, the stadium is completely empty. We're like one of six journalists allowed in.
Yeah.
So it's definitely different in that sense. I think it's a little bit more, more adrenaline in MLS just because of that. Obviously, like probably not the case when things are normal, like being at a Champions League match is like the stadium will be shaking. But I haven't experienced it yet. And it's different because I'm not as close to the team. You know, with Orlando City, I was week in and week out with the players, with the coaches. Like I knew exactly what the storylines were, what I saw in practice I could reference. And now, you know, I'm talking about Chelsea week in and week out, but I'm not at the trainings. So I can't like, I don't know the players' personalities personally. So it's different in that sense. And I really did enjoy like being so close to it in MLS.
Do you ever get a chance to like maybe pull up some of your skills? Like if somebody thinks you're just the sideline reporter or something and they're like, oh, get her out of the way. She doesn't know how to trap a ball. And all of a sudden you're doing keeping hubbies and like, all right, maybe I should shut up.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I worked for Orlando City, especially, I did this like Audi commercial a lot of the time where I was playing soccer with the players and like showing or teaching a skill. Like the Audi thing was like teaching kids a skill. Yeah. And I played and that was like a big like respect on my name. I think that really helped me with like credibility in the locker room. Like, oh, she like actually can play. I scored on some of our starting keepers quite a few times and they were like, this is not okay. And then we couldn't release the footage. You know, we couldn't release the footage because like it's not a good look. But I was like, can I put that on my Twitter? And they're like, no.
Your whole reel is just you bossing Orlando City goalkeepers. That would be amazing.
They're like, you know what? It's like, they're going to be like opposing teams are going to be watching this footage. Like, okay, we know how to defeat them. You know,
that was like definitely like the most fun part. You know, they handed me a credit card and they're like, go get cleats. You're going to do this thing. I'm like, what? Okay. I can play again. Like this is awesome. So I hope I get to do something along those lines in the future as well.
Okay. You got to do that with like Shakhtar Donetsk or some other Champions League club.
Nutmegging Mason Mount. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Pulisic, like, look, I know you think you're good, but have you heard of this move right here? And I wanted to actually talk to you about Chelsea TV because it's one of those things that's like, how exciting is this? You get to hang out with this Premier League, Champions League team. And it's like, no, you don't. Just talk about them. There's COVID, baby. You can't even be around these people. Like, how difficult is it for you? Because you're like, I don't know. I know what you know. That would be every episode for me. But like, I'm reading the same shit you're reading. You know?
That's exactly where I'm at right now, for sure. So I'm like Chelsea FC USA's like host, I guess. Like, I'm the face of that. Along with, Chris Whittingham and... they're going to kill me. Mike Ryan Ruiz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hope he doesn't kill me for that one. But yeah, I haven't met the players. Like, I did go to the stadium when I was in London for CBS. And I took this like really insane picture that went pretty viral because there's like a pink sky at the stadium, which is really cool. But haven't got to like interview any of the players or like be at a match. So that has been really weird, especially going from the position that I was in where I was like day in and day out with the team to basically like whatever is in the news, I can now report. And the game that you watched, you can now see how I saw it, but that's basically it because I'm not at training giving you like little bits that you might not have seen. So that's been different. That's been tough for sure. I don't know. I hope my role expands and maybe they have me in London someday.
Yeah. That'd be
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think but clearly the intention, especially with for Chelsea, obviously having Christian Pulisic, having such a high profile American player, of course they want to have a larger footprint in the United States.
So marketing, baby, let's use it.
But what is the I guess not necessarily plan, but there must be that. Like, what is at least your interest in trying to connect the American fan with Chelsea more? Because I know, look, I'm an Everton fan. You know, I want Chelsea to lose all the time. I mean, that's just me.
I'm an Arsenal fan. You know, I want it when you come on camera to go look like, oh, no.
But the thing is, because Christian Pulisic is there and he's playing so well, who is not a Chelsea fan, I'm like, I kind of want this young man to thrive and I want to see Chelsea do well as long as he is also succeeding.
Just to tell like Everton and Arsenal, like I think that even if you don't have an American on your team, I think it is important to bridge the two, kind of give a voice that American fans are familiar with to give them some like EPL connection, I feel. So, you know, if Arsenal and Everton are listening, they should totally hire you guys, even though you don't have your Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it definitely helps to have him, and like people are rooting for him. Like if I tweet out when Christian Pulisic is playing, just an American flag, I get so many likes and retweets. I'm like, how do you guys like this? They just like love the fact that an American is playing for Chelsea, love Christian Pulisic, and just all Americans. You know, there were so many Americans in the Champions League. Just really, really cool. It helps my job, makes it easier when he does well. You know, obviously he's had like some woes, but when he does well, my video is so easy and people will retweet it because Christian Pulisic, the American, did well. Yeah.
Now, this might be a little controversial, but are they forcing you to call it football, right? You can say soccer, right? Yes.
I keep getting in trouble for calling it soccer. Like people will call me out on Twitter. They'll DM me like some abuse because I call it soccer. I'm like, listen, I'm an American. Like, we call it soccer, you know? And yeah. I'm obviously Mexican as well, so we call it football in Espanol, but...
Right.
It's difficult. You know what I got in trouble so much for? Obviously not from my bosses, but just like in general. I say PK all the time. Always. Like I'll say like, yeah, you know, they have a PK.
Well, yeah. Look, if you're going to bring up Shakira's husband, people are going to get upset all the time.
He doesn't play for the team.
That was a good one. No, I can't get myself to like switch to penalty. Every time I was like talking through things, I'm like, yeah, PK. I had my producers like, can you not say that word? I'm like, what? Like, can you just say penalty? I'm like, sure, but it's like natural for me to say PK.
Yeah, I know. Also, you played. You played your whole life, so it's a PK in your head.
Yeah, sure.
It is a challenging thing, especially basically Americans talking about soccer, football. There seems to be this like these gateway people, like these gatekeeper type people that are like, you know, usually English, your Premier League fans, just European soccer fans that are just, you know, hey, you have to talk about the game the way we talk about the game. Otherwise, we can't respect your opinion.
Right.
And it's such a frustrating thing because they don't say, they don't tell Italians, stop calling it calcio. They don't, right. It's only us that they go after.
Also, in Australia, they say soccer. No one ever mentions that. They're called the Socceroos, for God's sakes.
People will just pick out, like, what they want to pick out. And, like, if they want to be mean, they're going to be mean, like, no matter what you say. So I've found that pretty disappointing.
Right. Yeah. Look.
Well, we're happy you say PK.
Don't stop. Piss them off. Who cares? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's soccer now. Bottom,
exclamation point next time. Like PK.
Yeah. Pop that P. Make everyone be like,
Your producer is like, oh my God.
Should we get her a pop filter? What's happening over there?
No, there is, that is a cool thing. I mean, just in general, it feels like as an American soccer fan, we have to bust the door down to be a part of the conversation, because you do have the people that are like, you know, you have American soccer fans that do chants in British accent, you know what I mean? Like they go,
who are you? You're a dude from Cleveland, bro. Like,
that seems to be more disingenuous than just being like, look, let me call it what I want to call it.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't really like that, but I'm switching in my brain to like avoid the mean people. I'm like, okay, football. If you want me to call it football, I'll call it football. But like, leave me alone.
Okay.
I'm just calling it football just so they can't, you know what I mean? Respect to my culture and you can't say nothing.
I accidentally like slipped because like I grew up in a household where we go between English and Spanish a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a hit on CBS where I say like tunnel. Like I'm talking about like they're playing a rondo and like tunnel. Yeah. And I was like, Jenny, Meg, like, what are you doing? Because it's just like natural to switch. And people were probably like, what the heck is this girl talking about? Like,
Thank you for normalizing it.
Yeah. Okay? That's what happens to us when we get excited or angry. We switch back to our first language.
Yeah.
You know, watch me playing FIFA. If I don't start just switching up my language when I get scored on, okay?
There's a lot of diablos, you know, happening.
And so far, working with CBS, and you've had a bunch of great moments there as well. It must be a great, it looks like a great crew. Obviously, Kate Abdo, you know, Ian Joyal, we've had a couple of them on the show. They sometimes pick on you. I feel like I've seen this a little bit. They tease you a little bit during moments. How has it been been just in that work environment? Obviously, it looks like it's a lot of fun, but how is it working with all those folks?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I like look up to every single one of them, and now I'm working beside them. It's pretty surreal. Luckily, I got to meet all my coworkers like week five. So like the first 4 weeks, I like have never met or spoken to any of these people. And then we're talking on live TV to each other. So that was interesting. But now that I know them, I feel so at ease that they're like genuinely nice people. They're so smart. I mean, I've talked about this on my vlog, but Roberto Martinez has to be like the nicest human ever. Yeah. Like, I'm just like shocked by how nice everyone was.
Former Everton manager as yeah. well.
I talked about Kate Abdo being like so like mentory and nice and reaching out and stuff. Like, it's just been really, really nice because I am so new. Like, I've been in this business for what, 2 years and maybe three, and I'm covering Champions League. So having like all these people be super supportive and like making jokes with me, like as though we are friends is really, really sweet.
And I just want to real quick, how when you see Kate Abdo translate in 42 different languages, are you supposed to be like, Kate, how am I supposed to keep up with you?
You gotta get Duolingo Pro. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. You gotta go all the way.
She is amazing, and you know what? You can even I think she's learning Italian right now or something. Like, she just continues to be a student of all of this. And like, what do I need to do to help out and be better? And it's just insane. I'm such a fan.
What's she trying to do? Become Google? Like, we have Google Translate. We don't need it, Kate. Relax.
That is so cool. It's just, it's amazing.
All right. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us on another really fun episode. Thank you, Jenny Chu, for joining us as well. Absolutely crushed it. So fun. Jenny, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yes. First of all, thank you guys so much for having me. It was actually really fun. My left butt cheek stopped shaking.
Mine started. So I don't know what's happening. I think I caught it.
But yeah, follow me on social media, Jenny A. Chu, and watch our CBS Sports coverage of the Champions League. I do Chelsea FC USA videos every week. So retweet those, follow me there. And I have a YouTube channel where recently I've had vlogs about my Champions League experience covering CBS Sports. So that's Chexic and Chew. Follow that, subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff, please.
Okay. Chexic and Chew sounds like a food channel.
Maybe we can have some pizza and stuff. Like,
yeah, there's no reason to not.
We'll collab. Next time there's no disease in the world, we'll collab.
100%.
Jenny, again, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Also, make sure follow Jenny on all social media channels. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow at Fubo Sports as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. Everybody, thank you again for joining us. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Jenny Chu, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!